Blog Talk Radio.
You found Blister Fish. You got it. The wildest, crazy, underground, fucking conspiracy, current event, atheist show in the fucking world. Coming out of Detroit, Michigan. And I just want to say one thing. I'm going to sing you a little croon, you a little tune, instead of a monologue. My dreams are all dead and buried. Sometimes I wish that this world would just explode. When God comes and guides me to his kingdom, I'll take all you sons of bitches when I go. Little squidbillies for you. I'm in a little pain tonight, folks. I dislocated my kneecap, so I'm on pain pills and I'm drinking whiskey. So we're going to fire it up tonight and get crazy. Yeah! I'm looking for my co-host, old DB, from the west side of Michigan. You out there, DB?
Hey, what's happening, man? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just firing down a little whiskey and seven and trying to kill the pain, brother.
Right on. What happened, man? What's going on with the knee?
Yeah, I popped the kneecap out of socket. I was kneeling on a...
You're getting old is what you're saying.
Yeah, It just popped out of socket. I think it popped right back in, but I tore a few things in there. It's just really sore. It swelled up a little bit, and I can't straighten it out very good. You know, it just like straighten it out to lay it flat or to walk on it really hurts. So
yeah.
I'm kind of fired up on some painkillers and some whiskey, and I'll make it through. So
that's the way to do it.
So
suffer, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I had that happen to me a couple times, man, in my 20s. I remember one time I was all drunk and I was walking to my house and there was a patch of ice right in front of the door. We had four or five of us living in this house and while I was in college, you know. And slipped on the ice, and man, my knee was on the side of my leg, and it felt so funky. I looked down at it and I was like, "Oh, hell no, man." I just reached down and pushed it back into place again, man. It was so funky. It just looked wrong, man. You know, it looked like a fucking limb just hanging there or something, you know. So I fucking fixed it.
Oh, man.
Again. Yeah, that's a good one.
Jesus Christ. That's not good.
Yeah.
Wait.
Injury stories.
I got one for you there.
Drunk and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Every time you talk about college and partying, I always think about that one.
looks like our
third co-host is called in. It looks like we might have Crusher on the line. Let me see. You know that Eric code don't look familiar though. Maybe it ain't him. Let's see what it is. Is this Crusher?
Me?
Hello. Caller. Is this caller? What's your name? Where do you hail from?
Josh in from Chicago.
Oh, okay. New caller. That's right. We have a third co-host that calls in quite a bit, and your number is very similar to his, but That's why I thought the area code was slightly off. I'm like, I'm a little impaired tonight, so my.
That's fine.
All right, that's cool, Josh. What do you have on your mind?
Well, I was kind of wanted to talk about resolution a little bit. Because anarchists and stuff
Isn't that a daisy?
Do what?
No, I'm sorry. Just samples going. I got dropped. You're gonna have drops probably all over your when you're trying to talk. But I'll try to let you talk. You know, as much as we can.
You gotta keep
the show funny. If we don't keep people laughing, they'll just it gets boring and they just turn us off. So.
No way, man. Hey, man, we have incisive commentary, man. You can do all the yuck-yucks you want. We got the commentary laying down right now, so don't poo-poo.
Right.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
All right. Josh, what do you call it?
Go ahead, Josh.
What's going on?
Revolution.
Revolution.
Right, exactly.
You're breaking out the Guy Fawkes mask, or what are you doing here?
Well, it's actually a little bit deeper than that. I love that you brought up Guy Fawkes. That's awesome. what he was trying to do was blow up the House of Lords. For people that don't know what Guy Fawkes is all about, he was trying to blow up the House of Lords, and they caught him, and they tortured him for 5 days where he was giving him the name John Johnson and crap like that. I don't think it needs to be violent, honestly. There's actually a way to opt out of it. And
opt out of
having the government have authority over you.
Ah, okay.
All you have to do really is you have to take the seat of executorship over your estate. And that sounds a little bit confusing to a lot of people, but what they did was they enacted the Sestoke V Act of 1666, and they treated you like you were dead. And that's actually where the birth certificate came in. And, you hear all these conspiracy theorists and stuff coming out talking about sovereignty and all this stuff. But in all actuality, what they did was, it's kind of flawless. It's kind of perfect. You should really be in awe of how they lied and manipulated people into being under their authority.
Right.
So what they did was, basically the Sestoke V Act of 1666, there was the London Fire. There was a bunch of people dying from, like, plague-like symptoms and stuff like that. There was, sailors leaving, going to the New World, and they said they were coming back. They never made it back. So what attorneys did was they came out with this thing. It was a trust saying that, if you're going to leave, they pretty much just said everybody was dead. And you had to come and say that you were alive, and then you could get your estate back. And your estate is you, your body, your possessions, all that stuff. Well, what they did in America, the good old land of the free, home of the retards, is they made, in the 14th Amendment, they made persons corporations. And corp is Latin for corpse, it's dead. So what they did here was they established that once you're born, that they can make a new, they can basically label you as a corporation. And that's how they're controlling people. It's everyone right now, as long as you are a citizen or whatever, if you're under their authority, you're pretty much a prisoner of war, as defined by the Geneva Convention of 1929. So, a lot of
all rise as the judge leaves.
I get what you're saying, and how's your uncle Alex Jones doing? Yeah, anytime we get like into the conspiracy stuff, we joke a lot about Alex Jones and stuff because I actually listened to him a lot a couple years ago, but we kind of came to the point where, we kind of think he's a provocateur, that he's working, just things don't add up with that guy, just the way he got all his stuff. He's what?
COINTELPRO.
Yeah.
Because, if anything, that's the thing about a good lie. You have to tell a little bit of truth in it. So some of the stuff he says can add up sometimes, but you're right. He's a provocateur.
Yeah.
He wants people to be angry and violent, which is exactly what the government people want. They want people to be angry and violent so they can beef up their ammunition and their weapons, and it's happening right now.
Well, that's just what we said last week, man. My claim is that they're inflaming this whole situation to justify the personnel carriers, armored personnel carriers, and the snipers and the RPGs and whatever else the police now carry around with them, even in small towns like Ferguson. And what they're going to do is eventually, if they get enough people to kind of rise up and start fighting the police, the police are going to say, "See, we needed all this. We
exactly.
told you we needed
that's exactly
it all."
That's exactly how you destroy a society. That's the fourth step. Actually, is they're going to bring all the stuff in, and then they're going to make it normal. Normal to see cops walking around with assault rifles, tanks
right.
going down the street with police emblems on the side of it. That's what they did in every regime, every empire built.
Well, they do that in Israel, and because they've got supposedly terrorists constantly surrounding them, but they want to do that here, so they tell us terrorists are surrounding us when they're really not.
Yeah, they got the terrorists are pulling up in their Navy, and they're pulling up in their Air Force. They're bombing us with their Air Force, and they're invading us with the 10 million strong army they have. And every story they use is done so to justify what's going on with how the police have been arming themselves from the military. I mean, that just tells you how much money we have, man. I look at the money we're blowing on these fucking armored personnel carriers that go over, don't even see any action anywhere around the world, wherever it's sent. It comes back without a fucking scratch on it, and is given to some, 20,000 population police force, town, and they take over the fucking city like it's under attack, just like in Ferguson
right.
and other places. I mean, it's going on everywhere. I just posted a thing on Facebook today that they showed the local news agency here in Michigan showed that they were doing a drill in the Ann Arbor courthouse, and they had a SWAT vehicle parked right fucking out front. And it was a massive tank. It had this big arm on the front of it that extended out, obviously, for either a camera or explosives. And it was parked right in front of the fucking courthouse. That thing, it could defy mines, landmines, and all kinds of other shit.
Right.
And you got to be thinking, who are they going to use that on?
Ann Arbor probably has one of the lowest crime rates in the country for a
yeah.
city. It's,
yeah, right.
It's very affluent. It's in a very affluent, very...
University of Michigan's located
University
there.
University of Michigan. It's just
I mean,
just it's
about
university
as white
town.
Bread as it gets. And they got this fucking big-ass tank sitting out front of town hall doing military exercises right in the town hall. It's all provocation for something basically to, have people approve of it. Somewhere along the line. And I think Ferguson's the thing. I mean, they came out ready to mow those people down, man. Ready to mow them down. And then they claim they got shot at. This was an interesting one. They claim that they got shot at, the police did. And only did they claim they got shot at, that they recovered the guns that they were being shot at
right.
by. Two of the handguns. If that isn't, if that isn't a load of shit, they didn't catch
right.
anybody, but they got the guns
no.
that shot at them.
Right, right.
Man, and then, I mean, really, all of this shit is all signs of fascism. The military control of the police, going after journalists, straight after shooting at firing tear gas, firing rubber bullets, arresting
right.
them in the McDonald's. Don Lemon got pushed around on CNN, and he was all shocked by it, But those are all
right.
signs, controlling media, claiming a no-fly
right.
zone over Ferguson so that the media couldn't take any aerial pictures of it. That's
right.
just all signs of fascism.
Yeah.
And it's happening, man. I mean, that's the problem with it. And people think, if you don't approve of the police doing what they're doing, you're showing weakness. That's bullshit. You're allowing this fucking militarized police force to come in and do what it likes.
Right.
I mean, that's
where
you kind
of
start dabbling in Stockholm Syndrome. Wave this flag, be proud of Stockholm Syndrome. Wave this flag, be proud of it no matter what it does to you.
Yep. Yeah, and that's where we're at. I mean, that's a good analogy. You know, Stockholm Syndrome is if you're a hostage and you become caring for your captors, and that's a good analogy because that's about where we're at, man. I mean, you see all these fucking tanks rolling down these streets that have no crime or 20,000 people or whatever else. That's a bad sign. I don't give a fuck what you care about the military or the police. When they're rolling down a street for no reason with a city that has no crime or barely any people living in it, that's a bad sign, man.
Well, we talked about this earlier, DB. We said that, part of the reason why there's not a big uproar is because we see all this heavy-handedness and the brutality against this black community in Ferguson, Missouri. But then again, we as white people, we can go out with semi-automatic rifles at the Bundy Ranch and protect the rich white Republican Christian, and we can point guns at federal agents, and nothing ever happens. Nothing
assault
happens
rifles.
About it. So,
yeah, assault
yeah,
rifles.
Assault rifles. So we see, you know, what is being allowed, you know, for one sect to keep everybody happy, to keep everybody okay. They're on our side, but then minorities, black communities, right now, they're going to crush them. They're going to try out, you know, the program on them. But one day it's going to be for everybody. It's not just going to be for them. And that's what people got to wake up and see.
It's certainly not right. It isn't. I mean, it's a racial issue in Ferguson for sure, without a fucking doubt. But it's also a police state issue that goes far beyond a black and white racial profiling type situation. I mean, it's happening for sure. But it also is going way beyond that and into the realm of, you know, and you imagine, what do you think would happen if this, like we use Ann Arbor as an example, if that shit happened in Ann Arbor, if they shot some white college student, you know, 19-year-old U of M student right down in the street while he was laying there and they got video of it and whatever else.
Right.
I'm wondering if white people would even do anything about it.
what
do you think? Do you think that they would even do anything?
Maybe. I mean,
I
don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of big time lawyers living in Ann Arbor. I don't think they'd put up with that shit. And I think that's why they don't do that in those kind of places, because they know people won't put up with that shit, because they have the wherewithal to have a big time lawyer on retainer. Most of the people that live there, or they are lawyers themselves, and they're just not going to put up with that crap. And they know their rights. See, a lot of these people, these poor schlubs living in lower middle class, just barely above the poverty level type housing and stuff. I mean, a lot of these people, they don't have no wherewithal. They don't have lawyers on retainers. They don't have knowledge of the Constitution and their civil rights and everything. And I mean, a lot of people are learning real fucking fast, but, they don't have the ability to, you know, fight off what's going on. And another thing I don't like,
legally they don't, you know, I mean, you're right, you're absolutely right there, but that's still not, I don't think that's stopping the cops from just shooting, you know, white people down in the street for no, unarmed white people down the street for no reason, or for very little reason, you know, for lack of reason.
People,
I mean, even if it was true that Michael Brown stole shit in the fucking gas station, who cares? That justifies him being shot 6 times in the head, in the back, for some fucking cigars, which is coming out, that video may be edited now, from what it's saying in the news. So either way, it doesn't fucking justify him being killed, shot 6 times in the street for stealing some cigars.
Exactly. They already said that cop had a record of being racist. They're saying now, labor covered up a lot of his racism and everything. And that's another thing about the whole police forces. Why do they have like an IQ limit for police, you know, officers to get into the force? They don't want to take smart people. What's that?
Yes, but I actually know why.
I know why. I'm asking a rhetorical question. I know why it is, but I mean, it's ridiculous. Why do they want everybody with under 120, and you don't want nobody with any high IQs in the police force? You know, it's ridiculous.
Because they're going to be more prone to just be obedient, and, you know, they promote with violence. If you're violent, chances are you're going to be, you know, chief in a couple of years.
Well,
yeah, they want them to be violent.
Yeah.
Hey, quick phrase, Nami.
It definitely is promoted. I mean, you look at how even people are being arrested nowadays. That chokehold that killed that big black dude in New York City for selling cigarettes, that's illegal and has been in almost police force in America.
When they made that video, they said he wasn't selling illegal cigarettes then. He had broke up a fight out in front
of
that business.
Right, but
he was
single cigarettes out of his single cigarettes. Again, who cares,
yeah.
Right? I mean, sell them single cigarettes, and then he fucking ends up dead 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't – the violence by the police does not justify the actions that the person took.
Isn't that a daisy?
In the first place, you know?
Right.
And that's going on everywhere, especially again with black people, man. That guy that got shot down in the Walmart with the BB gun. I believe it was either Georgia or L.A., but that just happened right around the time of his Michael Brown deal. Holding a BB gun in a Walmart, shot down dead by police, and another bystander that witnessed it died of shock, literally, when it happened. But they shot this guy down.
Jesus Christ.
So. You got us as the white boys who can walk into an Applebee's with an assault rifle with no problem, but some black dudes holding a BB gun in a Walmart, you know, kiss them goodbye, bye-bye, you know?
Right.
Over and over.
That's what I was talking about, though. That's why they're able to do these things, and they're not getting, you know, they're getting, like, paid vacation pretty much. Because we're treated, and I'm saying we're treated as victims, like obviously victims, but we're treated as prisoners of war, and that's exactly they're allowed to do that because we're just another body.
Right. Well, you know when you've got your own self investigating yourself, nothing good's gonna come out of that. Every time that happens, the only thing they got to worry about is fucking IA internal. The guys that investigate internally within the police force, you know, and that's all they got to worry about.
The same stolen
and
money.
While it happens, like you said, they're on paid vacation. They don't even get suspended.
Like I think you said last week, guys, there's no more Serpicos around, you know.
Yeah.
I mean the Brotherhood Code of Police, even the supposed good police won't turn in the bad police that are crooks or you know. Heavy-handed brutality, beating people, killing people. They won't turn them in. They all stick together, even the supposed good police.
So you
really,
can dabble into the RICO Act with that one. If you know about it and don't do anything about it, then you're just as guilty as the person who did it.
Right.
Well, that's
the whole thing. I mean, even the good cops are not good if they're not doing anything about it. Yeah, I mean, if they don't have anything to do with it, they're still complicit with it if they don't say anything about it.
Exactly. So,
you know?
Exactly.
And so, I mean, that in itself is the issue. So, I mean, in terms of when you see, you know, we pump the site all the time, this cop block, and that we don't know the people, but it has all kinds of unbelievably outrageous video of police violence all across the U.S., everywhere, East Coast, West Coast, North, South, everywhere across the country it's happening, you know? And, It's an indication of what's happening, man, and even if you're a good cop, if you're allowing that shit to happen, obviously it's happening almost everywhere across the country. Then something's got to be done about it.
Well, I would even be hard pressed to even call them good cops.
They're going to have to step in, and you know.
Well, see, that's the problem, though. That's why they're like. I don't honestly believe that there's any such thing as a good cop, because the stuff that they're willing to do to enforce commercial crime, if you don't pull over for not wearing a seatbelt or something, they will pit maneuver you, risking flipping your car and killing you to give you a $20 ticket.
The problem is they have the ability to do that. If you've got a blinker out, they have the ability to pull you over and kill you if they want, if they feel the need to.
Yeah, and that's
wrong.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Well, that's what I was talking about with the resolution. You can actually start indicting them, and people are trying to sue them as a police officer, or they're trying to sue the city or the police department, but you can actually sue them as an individual and point out the obvious violation of public law,
Civil rights.
Yeah, that's a civil lawsuit, right? That's where you can go after the individual and the entity and the police force.
If somebody pulls you over and shoots you because your left blinker's out, it's just ignorant.
It doesn't require proof without a doubt. It requires, what is the phrase, a preponderance or something of
preponderance
proof.
Of evidence.
Yeah, which means that, if after they pitch the case, if it's likely they did it, you can say that's it, that the dude was good. That's what happened with O.J. Simpson in the civil trial first time around. He was found not guilty, and then they took him to trial for civil, and
when
he was found guilty, and they'd pay all that money out.
The problem. That's the problem that they're having, that they had with him, was that the state tried to be the one to press the charges. The state wanted to be the plaintiff. That's not possible though, because it's an imaginary fiction. So all his attorney, and his attorney was paid well. All his attorney would actually have to do is say, "Is there any evidence of a complaining party? Do you have a client?" And they can't provide that evidence because the state can't physically sign a POA over to an attorney. It's just ridiculous. So what happened later was, I think the actual family of the victim came out and went against him. And that's what I'm saying. It's all about entitlement here. If you call yourself a citizen, I can actually disprove that right now on the air. A citizen defined by them, by the government people, and Loria v. the United States, they said, and I'll paraphrase, the citizen is a member of the body politic owing a duty of allegiance in return for a duty of protection, it being a reciprocal obligation. Okay, so they don't have to protect you if you don't have any allegiance to them, and if you don't have any allegiance to them, they have no duty to protect you, right?
Right.
And in 1981, they came out with Warren v. the District of Columbia, saying that they have no duty to protect the individual. So the concept of citizen was wiped out right there, which is the foundation of this whole country, is that people are citizens.
I've been saying that for 20 years, Josh. The cops are not obligated to protect you. They never have been. They're there to enforce laws and statutes and protect the interests of the state. They're not there to protect citizens.
And to generate revenue.
You have the Antioch City case out in California where they said they had no legal duty to do anything.
If somebody breaks in your house and kills some of your family members and you call the police and whatever, they don't have to rush out there to try to protect you if they're still in the house. I mean, they might or they might not. In Detroit here, we have some of the slowest response times in any police force in the country. And a lot of times, they're not going to kill themselves to get out there to fight the assailant. They're just going to go out there and file their report.
What about that guy? What about that guy, that crazy guy in New York on the subway? He brought a knife in there and started stabbing at people. And there are two police officers on the train, and they ran into the forward car and locked the door. And some guy who knew like some karate or something took him down. And he tried to sue the police for not protecting him. Yeah. And they said, even though they were on scene and had guns, this crazy guy on drugs stabbing people was not their responsibility to protect the rest of the people on the train.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you look at like Columbine. Look at Columbine. Those kids were in there for, I think it was an hour and a half, maybe, or two, shooting whoever the fuck they wanted, and the police wouldn't go in.
Yeah. Little high school kids, they got 100 or so SWAT and police force, state,
none
local,
of them
everybody.
Went in.
Out there, they wouldn't fucking go in there. You want to talk
None
about
of them.
Chicken shit.
Yep.
What a
and they
of
finally
chicken
ended
shit.
Up going in after an hour and a half. I think one team did of like four or something. I mean, these kids, they're herding these kids out with their hands above their heads. Some of them were, you saw pictures, some jumping out of the windows, of blood dripping down the side of the building as they're jumping out of broken windows and shit. And they fucking wouldn't go in for like an hour and a half or longer. And when they did, it wasn't them who killed those kids. It was them. So those kids killed themselves, shot themselves when they finally started. If that would happen 20 minutes in, maybe those kids would have killed themselves then, instead of waiting an hour and a half and letting those kids roam through the entire fucking school. But they didn't even want to do it. They stood outside the school, SWAT vehicles everywhere and wouldn't go in while those kids killed
and
all those people
and
inside
full
the school.
Fucking, a lot of them guys wearing full body armor fucking won't go in there. It's pathetic.
That's the whole thing. Get rid. What good is it? What good is it doing the average person, the militarized police or the police in general? What good are they doing? I mean, when you're driving down the street and you get a cop pulling up behind or driving behind you, I mean, do you feel comforted or do you feel dread? You know that they're following your rearview mirror.
Absolute terror.
Right. I mean, people are scared as shit when a cop car drives up behind them, and most of them for no reason. I mean, they're just, you know, nothing in their car. They haven't been drinking at whatever. You know, they're just headed home. But, I mean, I got a cop behind me, so who knows what the fuck's going to happen? You know?
Yeah, right.
It's out of hand. Here, I got – let me go over these real quick. I pulled up 14 defining characteristics of fascism. There's a couple sites on it. I'll read them real quick. Powerful and continuing nationalism. So that's number one. And disdain for recognition of human rights, which has been dwindling in this country for the last 20 years, if not longer. Identification of enemies, scapegoats as a unifying cause. How about Edward Snowden or Michael Brown?
Right.
Right there.
Right.
Supremacy of the military. How about number five, rampant sexism? How much rape is going on in the military right now?
A lot of the rape culture
that we got going on. Controlled mass media. That's certainly our country right now. Obsession with national security. Number seven.
Right.
Number eight, religion and government are intertwined. Certainly happening. Number nine, corporate power is protected, if not running the country, what it's doing right now. Number 10, labor power is suppressed. Unions have done nothing but been beat on by the who knows how many different groups right now. 11, disdain for intellectuals in the arts.
Yep.
Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment.
Absolutely.
Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. And number 14, fraudulent elections, which you're talking about not allowing people to vote now and whatever else. There's all, every single one of those.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Every single one of them. So, you know, this is the thing, man. You know, on our show, I talk quite a bit about surveillance, the surveillance state, which nobody seems to give a shit about for the most part until this whole thing with the NSA came out. Oh, they're spying, you know, Angela Merkel's cell phone and shit, and suddenly it was a problem. And then finally Edward Snowden came out and said everything is being spied on, you know.
He's just repeating what they said in 2005, all of your data records.
But this shit is intertwined. This deal in Ferguson and our surveillance state work together in conjunction to keep people down and to do what's happening right now in our country. I mean, you know, the whole surveillance state is designed to suppress what's happening in Ferguson, the people there, you know. And on top of it, you know, fly zones by the media, they're being attacked. You know, it's...
One thing that's good that's happening in all this, though, that gave me a little hope is on one of the nights, I think it was Wednesday night when it really was a lot of stuff was going on. I was watching MSNBC, all the different shows on. Fox didn't cover dick on it. CNN didn't cover dick on it. And I guess they've actually been hundreds and thousands of people have been protesting with Fox and their national headquarters and CNN.
Well, they're promoting the police and the whole deal. Fox is promoting the police department.
Right. So anyways, I was watching MSNBC, and I was surprised how anti-government, anti-police that MSNBC, all their shows were. And I was like really like I was watching Rachel Maddow. She had a great monologue at the beginning of her show. Just ripping talk. She was actually, that's where I got that from. She was correlating the Bundy Ranch standoff to what was going on in Ferguson and saying the inequity of it. And there was a lot of cool stuff that was coming out. I was actually surprised at MSNBC. I was, you know, usually I can't stand the bought and paid for media. I just think it's all a bunch of crap. But I actually had felt a little hope watching them that night. It was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we had spent some time talking about Ferguson, and then we get off the show. And they're rioting. Well, right after we got off the show,
and I turned on MSNBC,
which I also never watch. I don't know why it happened to be on, but Larry O'Donnell was on there, and he was questioning like the police tactics Are they supposed to be doing this? Do they have the constitutional right to do these things?
He had that one law enforcement expert on there that was saying they're going about it all wrong. That one big heavyset guy, white dude they had on there, he was just ripping Ferguson's police department and everything. He was going, they're way out of line. That guy, he was on there two or three nights in a row, and he was on there ripping them the whole time. And then once they got the state police involved, they everything went smooth. They started having all their protests, and nobody was having any problems. But when the local police had it, they were all screwed up. So.
Do you guys enjoy the tactics of the chief of police in Ferguson? It was like the first or second day, people were getting pretty rowdy. So what he decided to do was take a black cop and put him inside of the group and walk with the group, and they calmed down immediately.
Yeah, those from the state. They brought the state police in, and that guy was a high-ranking officer in the state police. And he marched with them. He was a black dude.
Right.
He marched with them and calmed the whole situation down. But
You
got to wonder about this. Ferguson is a good test case, man, about what's going on in the heads of the cops in this town of 20,000 people. I mean, it's like they're fucking licking their chops to bust out all their shiny new machines so they can go kill people, you know?
Yeah,
right.
All the journalists that have been attacked and everything by the police, there's one here on rawstory.com. They got video, and this guy was finally suspended, but he's barred from the Ferguson protests and then finally suspended. The ACLU made an official complaint about him. He said right to the media, he goes, "I'm going to fucking kill you," to a reporter.
Jeez. Yeah. Hey, did you see the Al Jazeera? The Al Jazeera news team was there, and they were interviewing them afterwards. They had been shot with rubber bullets. They were gassed, and they were like, "Boy, this is a lot worse than being over in a lot of places we go into the Middle East. Can you believe that?"
Yeah, man. Well, you know, like the general in Egypt made a statement calling for calm by the police forces in Ferguson, Missouri. A general in Egypt. He's one of the high-ranking officers in the government, in the military in Egypt, calling for calm by the Ferguson police. Man, you know it's bad. They just went through a revolution, man, and they're calling for calm from the police force in the U.S.
They were just mowing down citizens a couple years ago, and now they're fucking they're calling us heavy-handed.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But this is just you know, right now it's a sore thumb. You know, it's like a thumb sticking up, but there's the fist still ready to beat down people all over the place. I mean, it's still, you know, happening everywhere. I'm surprised it's been such a flashpoint in such a small city. You could almost call it a town of 20,000. And, you know, it just won't happen in a big city, I guess. I mean, I guess the big city won't come down and just say, "We've had enough of this, and you're killing too many of us, and we've had enough, and we're going to do something about it."
When they had the bombing in Boston, the town right by Boston there, that was kind of a, you know, weird seeing, you know, we talk about that one constantly where you see stormtroopers marching, you know, eight wide down the, you know, city streets and armored personnel carriers going through, and they're going house to house, just ripping people out of their house, no search warrants, no nothing, trying to find a fucking 19-year-old little kid. You know, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah,
martial law.
What's that?
That fucking, the Constitution had nothing to do. I mean, they broke so many laws out of the Constitution, it wasn't even funny. I believe there's like 50-plus federal agencies involved in that. They had tanks, armored personnel carriers rolling down the street with teams of 20 and 30, not only calling, they're telling people to stay in their houses, they're pulling them out, doing searches. They had pictures of women holding their little babies with bare feet, telling them they got to, you know, evacuate their house immediately while they go in. Crazy shit. Crazy.
Well,
and now it's, again,
even,
same deal, but in a small town, and suddenly it's become an issue. You know, I guess because of how it went down, that, you know, an unarmed person giving himself up, being shot dead, you know. So I guess that's what it took. For people to get pissed off.
DB, even by where we grew up in Armada, we grew up in a little town about 8 miles away from there in Upper Michigan. That young girl that was killed, they thought it was a serial killer, so they had the FBI investigating it. And one of our mutual friends was up there, and they said that they were stopping people going into the main streets into Armada and coming out. They had FBI stopping people at checkpoints, and they were pulling people out of their cars and searching their cars.
Every single car, dude, coming in and out of Armada.
No warrants or no nothing. They're pulling people over, and they were stopping them, and they were ripping through their cars.
Yep.
And
every single car in and out
and
of that town.
And questioning them without... No rights read, no credentials shown to anybody, just pulling them out of their cars, no rights read, no credentials, no representation of lawyers or anything, just questioning them, asking them, and their cars being searched. You fucking believe that? That's unbelievable,
yeah.
Dude. We're basically, people don't see it, but we are basically like Nazi Germany at this point. I mean, it's nuts. It is really
well, they make a lot of comparisons to it, man. I mean, from people from that have lived through the Holocaust and the Nazis, and you know, it's a lot. They say, you know, the people in Germany believe they were free the whole time they were there.
Right.
From when Hitler took over, 32, 33, whenever it was, to you know, 45, they were free. They were living free, you know.
Yeah, they thought they were, but they weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the people that went along with the state, they were taken care of, and they were a lot of them were all right, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, you didn't agree with stuff. That was it, man. You're done.
Well, actually, that's perfect that you brought up the Nazis. But, no, that's actually perfect that you brought up the Nazis because you know how people are talking right now about the whole show me your papers thing that the Nazis did?
Wow.
Well, there were actually
right.
Jews who were able to get out because they had the proper paperwork.
Right.
That's not a mindfuck. Yes, they had the proper paperwork, and I don't know exactly what kind of stuff they had, but that's what I was talking about at the beginning was there is paperwork where you can step down from having that authority over you. It's just you have to be in trouble with them, and then you have to say that I no longer want your services. And
that doesn't mean that the police are going to honor it. You know?
What's that?
Yeah, no, I understand that. But I'm saying, when they arrest you, there's nothing you can really do if they kill you. But if they arrest you, you can actually come back out, and you can actually indict the police officer. People are doing it. Like, there are some people around the country. I don't know. I know they did it in Michigan, actually. They did it in Indiana, Peoria, Illinois. They handled Rick Perry. The lady who started all this stuff, she actually was indicting Rick Perry, and then he got other indictments, I guess, and she started that. They're saying that it was, like, corruption and whatever, but when she was indicting him, it was because he was the head of the school board, the whole statewide school board, and he ignored two different molestation charges from students' parents. He ignored them, so she indicted him for not protecting the children.
Yeah. Well, you know, you keep going back. I mean, you know, I read that that fact quite a few weeks ago, and I'm gonna stick to it. In 1980, there were about 3,000 SWAT raids in the United States. Nowadays, there are 80,000. SWAT raids every year, 80,000. That's 200 plus every day. 200 plus every day SWAT raids in this country.
Yep.
I don't know when people are going to wake up, man. I mean, it's time to get back. I mean, yeah, your officer's got to have a sidearm. Your officer's got to have maybe a billy club for controlling the drunken, out of control idiot. You know, and even these tasers are killing people. They're using them like they're fucking candy nowadays. They're walking up, they're tasing people 5-6 times, tasing them for no reason. You know, you're getting a death every once in a while out of them.
If it goes through your skull, it can mess up your brain. It can fry your brain.
Yeah.
They shoot you in the head.
Or, you know, it fucks with your heartbeat. You know,
right.
it's like a fucking EKG, man. and it sends people into seizures and gives them heart attacks and fucking whatever else, man. It takes over your central nervous system, and, you know, it fucks you up. And, you know, they call it non-lethal, but, man, I wouldn't want to be on the business end of one of those, that's for sure. So, you know, I mean, we need to get back to the point, you know, they're talking about how, like, in Germany, I believe there were, like, 90 shots fired last year by the police. And I think Bill Maher just sent something out on Facebook saying that, like, 50 of the 90 were warning shots.
Right.
50 of the 90. And then there's one person, I believe it was in Cleveland, it was either last year or the last couple, that was shot 50 times by the police. 50 times alone by one person.
What about those ladies who were driving in that pickup truck and they shot it up like they shot it over 100 bullets at it and it was the wrong make, model, and description of person?
Yeah, they were going for Dorner.
Jeez.
Out in California. They were going for Dorner, and they thought it wasn't even the same make and model car that he was driving. And they shot 100 rounds through it, and it was two old ladies.
Oh,
exactly.
My God.
Danger!
They just settled out of court for that one. They got some money out of it. They were both shot, and their vehicles just torn to shit. And, man, they're lucky. They're both lucky they're alive still. That happened two or three times.
Oh,
they shot the wrong person two or three times looking for Dorner.
Well, that little kid who had that flashbang grenade thrown in his little pin. Yeah, that was the wrong house. It was two blocks away.
That was in Georgia. We talked about that a few times. And now the state of Georgia is refusing to pay for their medical bills, that kid's medical bills.
Yeah, $800,000 or something like that for medical bills. Yeah.
Yeah, blew a hole in it. With a flash grenade, wrong house, but we're not going to pay the bills to keep that kid alive.
Right.
Out of control, man. I you know, it's just over and over, and I don't know, man. Something's got to happen. It all goes back to the money. It's the money flowing into our military. The military's got so much fucking money that they don't know what to do with it, so they're sending, like I said, these vehicles that don't have a scratch on them back into the police forces. I mean, the military's getting $2 billion a day. A day. $2 billion. It's just too much money. We're all over the world. $2 billion a day. You know.
Well, they have the perfect scheme, though. I mean, the military has a perfect scheme. All they have to do is say that someone wants to hurt us, then they go over there, destroy everything, and then they have contractors come over and rebuild everything, and then they just continue doing that over and over again. That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's part of that book. I read a book called Shock Doctrine by Naomi Klein. And she describes that. They create these corporations come in and she calls it disaster capitalism, where they take advantage of the disasters in any given part of the world to prey on the labor and the raw resources of the area and be able to overturn the prevailing government if they don't agree with it, so it's more friendly to a capitalist environment.
Yeah,
that's
and,
what
you
we
know,
did. We were talking about that last
week. Man. United Fruit that's Company in Guatemala. We sent assassins down there, overturned the government there, I believe, in 54, 53. Chile, Salvador Allende in 1973. And, you know, this book I'm reading right now, the Untold History of the United States, it documents every single invasion we've had since World War One, and it's just almost every year. I mean, there's some shit I've never heard of before. We invaded the Dominican Republic in 1963.
Yep, right.
You know?
Right.
On and on and on. And, you know, and it's all for the sake of capitalism, for the almighty dollar. You know,
absolutely.
Killing people, assassination squads, overturning democratically elected governments, it's all for the fucking natural resources.
That's why I can't stand these idiots that are like, they're talking about, you know, ISIS over there in Iraq and everything. And you get these idiots that are like, we should just nuke them all. Goddamn Middle East. I'm like, they're so fucking stupid. I'm like, dude, you're bitching about people that we've armed. We've armed these people. We armed Al-Qaeda. We armed rebels
ISIS.
In Syria. We armed all these people. We've given them fucking weapons. We set up Saddam Hussein to fight Iran. We fucking supported Iran in their coup back in the 50s, democratically elected fucking prime minister. We've supported all this. We destabilize all these fucking governments. and we cause all this chaos over there, and then we fight it later on.
That's all by design. I mean, they're breaking down the government so that they can come in and, like, in Iraq with Iran with Mossadegh in the 50s. You know, they overturned because he was nationalizing the oil.
Right.
Bring it back into the state, into the country of Iran, instead of allowing. And BP had a big fucking chunk of investment going in there and overturning Mossadegh. Man, they spent a ton of money destabilizing Iran so they could come in and take over the oil fields.
It's all corporate bullshit, causing these wars and everything, and taking over these governments and overthrowing. You know, that's the biggest fucking thing. I can't believe that people in America buy this bullshit that we're over there trying to help people have democracy.
That's the biggest bunch
of bullshit. Oh my God, that is so stupid. If you think that, I got some swamp land in Florida. I want to tell you that you're fucking ignorant if you think that's what's going on. That we're worried about
a lot of people believe
over
that,
Iraq,
man.
And all these countries.
So many people believe that.
You certainly seem to be in touch with your anger.
It's like they think we're a bunch of Boy Scouts. We're helping little old ladies across the street in Africa and in Pakistan and Yemen and Syria. And no, we're not doing that.
Watch
doing
that documentary,
different.
Dirty Wars. And Josh, have you ever seen the documentary Dirty Wars on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Documentary.
You got to watch
it. Check
it
out.
That
is a must-see if you want to understand what's going on with the foreign policy and the military and stuff and with JSOC and all that.
He documents all these secret raids that the U.S. military, he being Jeremy Scahill, who's written a ton of articles about Blackwater and stuff like that. He's written a book or two. I think made a movie about Blackwater. But he also made this movie, Dirty Wars, and he was documenting all the secret operations we got going in. Just in the middle of the night, we'll go in, the U.S. military, break through the roofs of some of these houses all over Afghanistan, shoot everybody in the room and leave. Without saying anything, they'll just take off.
Look.
And he started finding that these operations were going on all over the world. It's an awesome movie because it starts off really simple, and then, man, it turns into a fucking rabbit hole. It's a Alice in Wonderland thing after a while.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It just gets
worse. Look what they do in South America.
Right.
Right.
Look what they did in Venezuela.
Argentina. They disrupted the government in Argentina. Chile, they basically turned it over. Pinochet is the one that took over after Allende in Chile. He killed and tortured tens of thousands of people. I think 5,000 were killed and 10,000 plus were either imprisoned or tortured. And they've got these people in South America all over because we promoted the destabilization of governments all over South America for natural resources. I think they're called desperados, and they're all people that have disappeared, never to be seen again. And it's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people all over that continent that have just gone bye-bye once the government's been destabilized. And, the hard right wing comes in. They round up all the people in the colleges, all the professors, the students, any of the intelligence, and off them. Bye-bye. They throw them in jail or kill them or torture them, whatever. And it's gone on for years. And that shock doctrine documents tons of situations in South America, and a lot of them promoted by corporations. The government, but corporations, by Ford, by the United Fruit Company, by the copper mining industry in Chile. All of these companies had paid assassins on their payroll going out killing people that were their enemies. Corporatism, and capitalism.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
and that question always comes out is how do they do it? How do they control people? And if you're a fan of psychology, you can understand that it's a lot easier to control people in groups than it could ever be to control them as an individual. So all they have to do is distract them with sports and politics and other nonsense, then they do whatever they want, and then, okay, so what, they legalized marijuana. Okay, well, you're not going to talk about the people you just slaughtered over here in Syria. You know, they distract people. It's,
yeah.
Look at the right hand when they're flashing the left.
You legalize marijuana, and while you're out there smoking a joint in Colorado, you got hundreds of people and thousands in jail in Colorado, still in jail on marijuana charges.
Yeah.
And they're looking out the window watching you burn a fatty outside their window while they're in there doing years. They haven't released them yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a bunch of bullshit, too. The whole, don't get me going on the drug war, man. I'll pull one of these out.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Well,
I
tell you what, man, that's a big part of it. The drug war is a big chunk of it. There's so much money in it that the banks have been laundering money for years and years. I mean, Wells Fargo, HSBC all paid fines for it, dropping a bucket for how much they made. And it's all about the money there. Then they send the prisoners to a private prison system so that company can make money off of that fucker being in jail.
$52,000 a year per person.
Unbelievable. Crazy. You know, I'll say it every single show we have. The answer to it is to legalize it all, have it run through your doctor. If you're a heroin addict or a cocaine addict, you would go to your doctor, get a prescription for it like you would any other medicine that can fuck you up, like Dilaudid, Vicodin, OxyContin, whatever else that are quote-unquote legal. Go to your doctor, get a prescription, go to the pharmacy, get your pharmacy-grade heroin or cocaine or whatever you need, take it home and do it there. It not
sounds
only
like
would
a
be
fun,
legalized,
sounds like a...
it'd be safer, and you would remove all the criminal aspects. It would go away the next day. The drug cartels in Mexico, the drug wars going on with gangs in America, on and on and on and on.
And we would approve tourism 100-fold.
Colorado has.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've talked about some of the effects in Colorado, man. I mean, it's been documented. They're doing, of course, you know, the Colorado's the guinea pig for all this. Their crime has dropped double-digit percentages. Their violent crime has dropped double-digit percentages. Fatalities on highways are near record lows now in Colorado. On and on and on.
Right.
And it's because
and that's just marijuana. Imagine if they legalized everything. I mean,
it would
everything.
Be, right, through your doctor, man. And just like anything else, man, you can't be driving around all fucked up on OxyContin, right? I mean, you can get it from your doctor, and it fucks you up. It's hillbilly heroin. It's synthetic heroin, and it's prescribed to a lot of people, and you can't legally be driving around it. It'd be the same thing with heroin or cocaine or whatever.
Right.
If you got to take it, stay home.
Yeah.
Right.
And then it's legalized.
They'll never do it.
Because of the money.
Yeah, exactly. They can sit there and tax businesses for selling it and make, you know, a little bit of money, or they can sit there, send $6 billion of opiates from the Middle East over to America, put it out there like it's nothing. Arrest people who use it, then try to use those people as CIs to get the dealers and whatever, and they're all working. Like, a lot of the dealers in Chicago, and I've noticed this, they always get a phone call. They always get a phone call before. You know, they always talk about that. They got a phone call before, they hung up, and 2 minutes later, someone kicked in the door, and everyone who was buying got arrested.
Right.
It's all profit, yeah. They don't care about people. They just want money. They have you in a cage, they have money.
Well, that's another thing, too. They go in there, and the police take all that money. They take all those drugs. Half that shit never gets back to the, you know, holding.
Impound lot.
Or whatever. Impound.
Evidence
you know, room. The, you know, you, how many, how, you know, how many cops do you see getting rich over the years? You know, they're not making dick. They're not making dick as far as their pay. So, you know, a lot of them guys are, you know, stealing and dirty and all that. And that's a constant thing.
Yeah.
Well,
but you know,
shit, a couple of years back, I even saw my resource officer in high school doing a line of coke. You know, it's not, they don't follow the rules.
I'm quick on the old rim shot, eh, Josh?
That was a good one.
I could feel a resource officer joke from high school coming on, so I was ready on it.
Yeah, for sure.
We had a pretty cool principal back in the day. I don't remember. You remember Mr. Ross, old DB?
Yeah.
Well, back at old Elmont High School, I was in school. We had a heavy metal show. A friend of mine. Band played a heavy metal show. We told them they sounded like Journey, and this is way off subject. We told them they sounded like Journey. We had this big heavy metal show in the gymnasium. There was hundreds of people in there. We had professional tickets printed up and everything. This was our senior year, and we had been partying with the band all day. They were hanging outside our school in the van, and they had this big stage show and everything, and we were all drunk. I was at school drunk, and our principal, Ross, came up to me, and he got in my face, and he just went, "Go home." Like that. He sent me home to drive home drunk and come back later for the show. So that was back in the 80s.
It was
a little bit of a different time back then.
Yeah, nowadays he would have to call the police on you, and you would have been arrested right there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would have called the SWAT team and had a drug DEA in there sniffing down your locker and shit right after it.
Right.
And everybody else is around you just for the fun of it.
Right.
That's what's going on nowadays.
Money
shit, man. I mean, that's the thing is the money from Colorado, from all that weed, the money from the weed from Colorado is going into school systems, whatever. It's tens of millions of dollars going back to the school system.
Right.
And the money that's illegally being obtained through all these illegal drugs that are illegal right now, it's all going to the drug cartels and the banks. You know, it's not being diffused into a public forum. It's going down into the 1%. It's, you know, you imagine all the money that these drug cartels are sending through these banks, and the banks are probably taking 12, 14% of it to launder it, you know? Massive amounts of money they're making. Where did that go? I heard a lot about the fines that they had to pay. It wasn't a lot, but they had to pay some fines for laundering this drug money for years. What happened to the people? You didn't hear one person get charged for it.
Why would
one
you?
Person
they,
went
they're
to jail
in, they're
for
all
it.
In cahoots. The banks and the government are the same, you know, they're the same people.
Right. They're the same thing, really, the banks and the government. I mean, they're working together to accomplish what's going on right now in the world. And this is the other thing, is this job security for all these fucking police. I mean, if drugs were legalized, even weed, but if all drugs were legalized, we wouldn't have the need for 50% of our police force, if not more.
Yep,
right. Oh yeah, it would just totally... Wouldn't even
and
need
you'd
it.
See all these fucking armored vehicles go away. You'd see these fucking tanks that we were talking about. They would go away. All of it. I mean, it would be
I have another question, Dennis.
Social revolution.
I have another question that goes back more towards the Ferguson thing and a lot of the heavy-handed brutality that's been going on. When did it become normal for police to be a completely safe and a safe vocation where there's no risk involved at all, where police have to be completely protected and they take no risk at all, no matter what, at all times they use maximum force and they are never to be put in a position where their life or their health may be threatened. Why is that like that all of a sudden nowadays?
You
notice that now, it's like police. Everybody
they knew whatever they
want. Everybody is like they cannot be threatened at all. They can't have any their security cannot be challenged at all. If there's any question, they can kill. I mean, it's just kill the person. If there's any slight fucking question that the person may be armed or whatever, just kill them. I mean, blow them away. The police are not to be threatened or not to be endangered at all. We just worship the police. We worship the military. You know, and I mean, I came from the military. I was in the Air Force in the 80s up to the 90s. And, I take my hat off at sporting events and stuff during the national anthem. But, I mean, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, I don't worship these guys. I was in a bar one time, you know, probably had three sheets to the wind myself. It was on a St. Patrick's Day. And there was a guy in there, a Marine, mouthing off about all the stuff he had been doing overseas and you know, and mouthing off about people that don't support him are, you know, pieces of shit and need to get out of the country and everything. And I was like, you know, I got in a big fucking argument with him and almost came to blows. But I was like, you know what? You know, I don't agree with you, man. I mean, you know, I mean, we thank you for your service, but, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing over there. You know, we want you back here, you know, killing Americans like you're supposed to be. You know, not over there killing women and children.
Isn't that a daisy?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I got off my soapbox.
But, you know, that's the answer to it is the money. I mean, they justify all this shit by,
right.
Oh, you know, the evil neighborhood drug dealer, and it's going to come and get you and your daughter and in your sleep and shit, you know. But it's the money that flows into the police forces because of fighting this failed drug war is massive, and it's got to stop. And if it doesn't, you're going to keep seeing more shit like this Ferguson thing going on. Except worse, man. Except the fuckers are going to be busting out, you know, the RPGs they have. I mean, it's more than just even tanks, man. They've got, of course, they've got sniper rifles, assault
grenade
rifles,
launchers.
RPGs, you know, sonic weapons now they're using. It's crazy.
Right.
Crazy.
They got, yeah, that one thing, it makes you shit your pants and you get all disoriented when they... It's like a super ultra low frequency weight sonic wave.
Yeah, that sonic weapon.
It makes you like confused. And you don't know what the fuck's going on, and you just want to get out of there. And it makes you lose your. You basically shit and piss yourself. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's some crazy shit out there, man. It's nuts. I'm telling you.
All that would go away, dude. That is the social revolution that everyone's looking for, but unwilling to go through. Is legalizing drugs and just running it through your fucking doctor, and you pick up your little packet of heroin from the pharmacist, you go home and you do it. You know, if that's what you need and the doctor deems that is appropriate for your situation, it's all governed, it's all taxed, it's all authorized. And all of that shit goes away, man. All the military bullshit goes away from it.
Well, not totally, but I mean, yeah, the drug. If all drugs were completely legal, that would wipe out all that end of it. And then if we could somehow wipe out there is no terrorism happening in America other than shit that's been allowed to happen, there would be completely nothing to be policed other than simple traffic problems and an occasional serial killer that's a fucking nutbag,
right?
FBI or whatever. But other than that, there's nothing to really be policed. I mean, everything that's being policed, 99% of it is drugs and threat of terrorism.
Yeah,
it's all bullshit.
Yeah, but with the drug thing is kind of circular, though. I mean, because people are taking these drugs because life is shitty. You know, and they're not they're not trying to address the problem. They're trying to just
People
are sick.
That's a whole other issue together. That's a whole
people
social issue.
People want to get happy.
Right. But you know what would happen is they'd be able to make that hookup.
I never get down on people that
want to get high. But they'd also be able to make that hookup without worrying about having to do a backdoor deal where they're going to find a bullet in their head if the deal goes bad. Or they're also able to not have to worry about getting fucking arrested for it anymore. And
right.
It would change their life.
You get a felony drug conviction. You get a felony drug conviction on your record nowadays, you're done. You're not going to have any kind of good job
Everything.
Ever. Once you get a felony drug conviction, you're fucking done. You're done.
No one will hire you. Nothing.
Right.
So
you're basically, at that point, you're going to be a life of crime. They make criminals. This whole system makes criminals. That's what it's set up to do. It's to make it's to make people fucking criminals. And And I had a question I was going to ask. I was going to ask you this question, Josh. Are you a lawyer or a law student?
I was actually doing legal defense counseling for a while.
I knew it. I snipped it out. I could tell, dude. I could tell early. I wanted to ask you that about an hour ago, but but yeah, it's kind of a
I'm not with him. I'm not with the lawyers and all the bar association people. No, I'm not with
right.
them. Actually, people tried to give me crap for practicing law without a license, but I know how to get
right.
around that. It's yeah. A license is
right.
permission to do something illegal.
Right, right. Well, I was just wondering because some of the terminology you use, and I'm thinking this guy sounds like he has some kind of law background or has been reading law books.
Yeah.
Just remind me of that. So. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's cool. You know, it's good to be up to date on your rights and stuff. I always love those videos that they put on, you see on Facebook where the cop pulls over the guy and he's a law student or whatever. He's just, or some guy that's really up to date on his civil rights and his constitutional rights. And the cop starts, asking him questions, where are you going and everything. And the kid's a smart ass. And he goes, well, I don't have to answer that. That's not, he's like, are you charging me with something? And the police are like, no, I'm just trying to find out what's going on. We have a lot of crime in this area. I'm trying to question you. He's like, well, I don't have to tell you where I'm going. He says, they're like, it's still a free country. And they go back and forth. And usually it ends up working out pretty good for the smart-ass law student kid, and it makes usually the cop look like a complete idiot most of the time. I've seen ones where it didn't end up good, but for the most part, it usually ends up pretty. They usually are like, oh, this guy knows what the hell he's doing. And that's the thing, what I think with most of it, if you know your rights, a lot of times, if you're very confident and they know you know what you're talking about, as long as the cop ain't a psychopath, you're okay. But, if you run up against some guy that's a fucking nutbag, you're going to be in big trouble.
Funny story, I was driving in Jacksonville, Florida in 2011, and I was going roughly 15, 20 miles over the speed limit like everybody else, and I got pulled over. And
right.
I rolled down the window, and I was like, before you ask me any questions, are you intending on issuing me with a valid cause of action? And he was like, He said, give me 1 second. And he walked back to his car, and he got on his radio, and he had, like, two or three more cop cars pull up. And he had his supervisor there, and then the supervisor walks up and stands behind him listening in. And I don't talk to the officer anymore. Now I'm talking to the supervisor. I'm like, does this guy is he trying to issue me with a valid cause of action? And the supervisor just, like, walks away, and he starts asking for all the bullshit. He starts asking for all the bullshit. Can I get your license and registration or insurance and all this stuff? And I was like, I need to know whether or not you're trying to issue me with a valid cause of action. And he doesn't say anything at all. Walks back to his car, gets in his car, and they all take off. And
oh
I'm
my
just
God.
Sitting there like, what the hell do I do? So I'm just sitting there on the side of the road, like, what the hell do I do now? And I just turn on my car and I leave, and nothing. It was just like it was like 7 minutes of just non, like just sitting there, like, what the hell's going on?
What does
surreal.
That mean? What are you forcing when you ask that question?
The valid cause of action. They have to try to bring you into court, which is what the ticket is. They're trying to or pay it. They want you to pay it. But
right
they,
there, man, or in court?
No, in court.
Okay.
When they hand you that ticket, it's an invitation to go to court, but he has to have a valid
right.
cause of action. He has to have some kind of evidence that I did something, and the traffic code, he would have to apply.
So they
he would
pulled
have to
you
prove
over
that.
They pulled you
yeah,
over
pretty much.
Nothing, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah
so,
and
that would,
and,
only, that
and
would
no,
only
it,
happen. That would only happen. That would only happen if you hadn't did nothing wrong. Now, if you had a Sheriff Buford Bussard from Hazard County or whatever, and he comes over and smashes your taillight out and says, "Boy, your taillight's out," then you're in trouble. That's the only problem. You get one of those.
You get
one of them good old boys, which there are some down in that area. You get a good old boy county sheriff like that, and you get smart with him, dude. He may pull you out and just beat the living fuck out of you. Then you know.
Well, that's why
thing.
I always did everything on camera. I had a video going
right.
the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
Always
tape every interaction with police for your own
mm-hmm.
safety.
Yeah,
right.
for sure. For sure.
Right. Well, luckily, so far in Detroit, I'm pretty good terms with all the police here. We've got friends in the local government, and we know police and stuff. And for the most part, we're pretty. We're on pretty good terms with everybody, so we haven't had to resolve to that. But I can understand people that do that, and I know there's so much stuff that's going on just from watching all the videos and all the Facebook channels, man. It's just crazy. So I don't blame people that do video.
Come here.
Oop. Yeah, you there?
No, sorry. My dog got out.
No, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Chase that rooster.
Sounds like my house.
Come on. Yeah, but
you're
I don't know.
What's that?
I was just saying. Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to rack my brain for a resolution and stuff like that, and just trying to find a way to not be messed with anymore. And the other day, I ended up calling in to some police departments and getting the names of the chiefs of police and everything. And, yeah, I was met with a little bit of hesitation, but I wanted to start indicting them for allowing the people under them. Yeah, I know. It's kind of dangerous knowing that they're mindless, you know, thugs. But I wanted to indict them as an example of, you know, what any one of us could do. Is hold them accountable for their actions.
Right.
Well, are you like a part of this cop block thing or anything like that? It seems to be.
No, I'm not.
Quite. What, and then, what city is this? Do you know what
the city?
Chicago.
The city's no, I was doing it in. I can't do it in Chicago right now because I don't want to die.
Right.
But
they're crazy there.
Yeah.
But no, I'm doing it in Champaign in Urbana, Illinois.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah,
are you getting him following you around or anything like that?
Oh, no, I mean...
Isn't that a daisy?
I kind of lost the fear of that. When I was down in... I was in Florida for a year from 2011 to 2012, and I was arrested for driving without a license, and I went to court. It was... And this, try to wrap your minds around this. It was criminal traffic court. I've never heard of that before in Illinois. Criminal traffic.
Right.
And
right.
I go in there, and I'm asking for evidence, you know, all around the board. I'm asking if they have anything that says, you know, the driver's license is even a legitimate contract. And the judge looks down at me, and he says, are you one of those sovereign citizens? And I said, would you like me to define both words and show you how they are contradictory? You can't be a free slave. And
right.
And, yeah, so that pissed him off. But after that, I kicked that case, not even a week later, I got pulled over by the cop who arrested me's partner. And he pulled me over, and he just said, and I said, you know, what do you want? And, like, what's going on? And he's like, I just wanted to see how you were doing, Mr. Johnson. And I was like, what the fuck?
Nice.
Yeah, so I left Florida.
Right.
Left Florida. I don't want to die.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's how they do
they'll
it.
They'll find you out, man.
Oh, yeah. They'll keep
right.
an
they
eye
try
on
to,
you.
They try
once you start making complaints. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's an awful lot of bodies.
Josh,
so
did you see that video
of
that? Right. Josh, did you see that video on Facebook that was going around a few weeks ago that that mountain man guy from Montana was called down to traffic court? I can't remember what it was, and he just kept screaming about he was a sovereign citizen and all that. And
oh,
he had the judge
idiot.
The lady judge, he had her so flustered. She ended up walking out of the courtroom, and he was screaming at her, and he was like, he goes, I haven't given you permission to leave here. He was screaming at her, and she laughed, and they just all walked out, him and all his people, they walked out. Did you see that video?
Oh, no, I haven't, but I would love to. That's hilarious.
Yeah, she kept talking about the law and this and that, and they arrested him, and he was ticketed for foraging for food in the forest. And something else, he's like a totally off-the-grid dude, you know, he has no power, no nothing, no mail service, nothing, he lives in a shack up in the mountains or whatever, he's like a 50-something-year-old dude, and he was screaming at her, she was like, he was like, your laws don't apply to me, I have the law of my human rights, I can forage for food, I can forage for water, you know, he was like, And she was, I mean, he was just ripping this chick. She was a lady judge. She was an older, you know, not real young, probably 60 or late 50s. And she was
and
just
flabbergasted. And she didn't hold him in contempt?
No, she kept telling him, I'm going to hold you in contempt. She kept telling him, I'm going to hold you in contempt if you don't shut up. And he kept going on and on and on, and he disagreed with everything she said. He argued with everything she said. They never got nothing accomplished. And she kept talking about, we're talking about these tickets that were written on you. And he goes, he was basically like, I don't follow your tickets, your laws. He goes, I am the sovereign man. I do not follow, you cannot. He goes, it's against my human rights to, you know, not allow me to forage for food. And, she just walked out of the courtroom, and he was screaming at her. She walked out, and he goes, I haven't said you could leave. He's like, we're going to get this done. He was screaming. This guy was nuts, man. He was going crazy. And you know, he had a big old beard and crazy hair, and he was wearing, you know, he's all like crazy wild man looking like Grizzly Adams. And then he goes, she's leaving. He's like, she's not going to respect me. He goes, I don't respect this court. They had a camera going. He said it right to the camera. I don't know if it was his camera or the court's camera. It was weird. And I didn't know if it was real or not, because I was like, why would they allow this camera to be in there filming this? And how would he get a hold of that film or whatever? But anyways, he walked out with his couple people. They got in the car, and they just sped away. And I don't know whatever happened after that.
But wow. It was pretty funny. Yeah. Funny. Yeah, that's not how to handle things.
Right.
7 years of college down the drain.
Right?
That's ridiculous. I try to help people out who don't do anything to anybody. You know, I'm not going to help someone who actually caused harm. But,
right.
You know, back in Florida, I actually kicked a couple of DUIs before I, like, couldn't take it anymore. I can't help people do stupid shit, you know.
Right.
Personal responsibility and whatnot. And
right.
I had this guy, he approached me about a ticket for Controlled Substance Act or something. And he had, like, half a pound of weed at his little podunk, like, Southern Florida, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
he was trying to get me to be his counselor on the case. And I said, you know, okay, well, what mentality are you coming in here with? What would you like to bring up? He said, you need to tell them I'm a sovereign citizen and da-da-da. And I try to hold my composure when I'm talking to potential clients, but I laughed at this guy in his face. Because you
yeah.
can't walk into a courtroom where they, you know, it's their courtroom. You can't walk in there
right.
and tell them that you run their room.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
Safe to say I did not pick him up as a client, but wow. Like, the glazed over eye thing that they do when they talk about it, it's just like programmed responses of, I'm free and I'm not listening to you. Okay, I get that, but when you're on the ground in handcuffs getting tased or maced, don't come back at me.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that whole thing's ridiculous.
That's one good thing about living in Detroit proper now is that it's legal here. We can have up to an ounce of weed legally in our residence, which is really awesome. You know, when they passed
that's
that,
cool.
like, what was it? Last year it was passed. It started in January. So, yeah, it's been great. You know, you have a party, somebody's fired up a joint in your backyard, and they're like, is it okay? Can we do that here? I'm like, yeah, it's fucking legal. You know, I mean, I don't know how you're gonna get it here legally. If they can pull you over driving and still bust you, but you know, once you get it here, it's legal.
Well,
so
if you got a medical certificate, also, you know, that's
legal that
you know,
too. But
yeah, you can actually carry. I believe I forgot how the wording is in Michigan. I think you gotta like have it in your trunk, in a container in your trunk or something, to transport
right.
it. If you have a license, you know, a medicinal license. But I think there's also another 10 or 12 states that if something's coming on the ballot to either legalize, decriminalize marijuana. And so it's happening. The problem is most of America has seen the benefits of it in the ridiculous efforts to try and control it. But the few that are in control don't want to let it go. You know,
right?
I mean,
yep.
you get these laws passed, and they still don't even the cops don't even want to respect them. Still, even you know when it's legalized or decriminalized or whatever else.
Hey,
so that's a problem.
I don't mean to sound unprofessional here, but I'm gonna mute myself and hit the can real quick, and you guys keep going. And I'll be right back.
No, hey, just bring the phone along, man. We can handle it.
Yeah. All right.
My advice to you: start drinking heavily.
Cool. But I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier when they're talking about how all these states are trying. You know, people are realizing that it's messed up, and I always call it a little bit of paranoia if you'd like. But when they start just completely decriminalizing it all over the place, I want to start watching world news and see what's going on, because, you know, when they were doing stuff in Colorado and stuff, you know, that's when they started arming the Syrian rebels and stuff like that. And I don't know. There's too much stuff. There's too many things going on at one time that one person can't follow it without, you know, going crazy.
Oh yeah, they certainly are using certain things as a distraction for other things, and usually it's foreign policy. You know, usually when something's blowing up across overseas, and we're talking about, you know, bombing people again, or sending weapons or forces or whatever, something conveniently ends up happening in the U.S. that distracts from that whole situation and ends up, oh shit, I forgot all about that. This there's a race riot going on or whatever, you know. So
there'll be some like anti religion or gay law or some kind of gay thing going on, and then it'll be something where they legalize, you know, they'll make corporations will have a personhood, you know, or whatever. They'll make a law where, you know, corporations are all, you know, make it a person or whatever. NDAA gets passed or some shit, you know, something like that.
Hobby lobby law, you know, shit like that.
Whatever.
It's important. I mean, there's a lot of shit that's surrounding it, but the timing of it is always convenient. And you know what I say, man, I don't believe in coincidences. I do not believe in coincidences. They happen for a reason. I don't care if it's just a simple running into someone you haven't seen in 10 years in a supermarket, or, you know, three insanely crazy things happening around the world within the same time frame that somehow, you know, look like they, you know, they might have something to do with each other. I don't know. I mean, here's my conspiracy side that comes out. The Malaysian Air thing is a good example of that. I can't even say I know it, but, you know, the one plane disappears over the ocean. You'll never hear of that fucking thing again. A month later, another one gets shot down with a bunch of AIDS workers on it, like 100 of them or something, over the Ukraine. The same airline, the same company.
Yep.
That shit just doesn't. It to me initially it doesn't make sense. I can't take that shit for face value anymore. Oh well, that's one month later, you know, another one shot down over the Ukraine, and now we're going to justify maybe sending in forces or bombing the Ukraine now, you know, because of it. I don't know, dude. All of that shit together, you know, equals to me no coincidence, and it's over and over and over again. And there's so many things that you look at it, the one thing, oh, well, that's maybe a coincidence, but not really, man. I mean, as a whole, you start looking at all this shit, it seems to like it's either a pattern or there's a connection or something with what's going on, you know, around the world, man. That's my conspiracy stuff coming out. But I tell you, man, you look at that shit over and over again, and it seems connected. And sometimes you just can't connect the dots, but it just seems like it. You know, it's like, man, that's fucking pretty odd that the only two crashes we had, you know, are two Malaysian airline, you know, and that's off on a tangent. But it just in general, these coincidences, I just don't believe in coincidences, man. So when you've got two things happening at the same time and one's like sometimes it just feels manufactured, you know, especially when it's a social civil rights issue in the U.S. along with something else going on. It feels really manufactured.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at Russia and the Ukraine and that whole thing with the second one that went down, you know.
You ever been on a real shrimp boat?
No. But I've been on a real big boat.
But, yeah.
That was a misfire on one of the drops. Sorry.
Yeah, that one didn't go along.
I was like, where did Forrest Gump come in?
Yeah, that one didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't,
I don't know why. It hit it accidentally. Sorry.
Some of the world leaders, they have taken lessons from Adolf Hitler himself with, like, the Reichstag, you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
And I don't think, I don't necessarily think Putin did anything with that, but I mean, all they need is justification. All they need is enough people in their countries to say, yeah, go do it, and then he's fine. Because they don't want to deal with the protesters and the multinational media, and they don't want to deal with people out there calling him out for all of his war crimes. And that's the same thing in America, by the way. They don't want to deal with it. So from time to time, I think they do something good and positive for their people, like legalizing stuff, gay marriage, marijuana, whatever. They legalize these things to, just to keep people at a happy medium where, yeah, you don't trust them, but thanks for giving us that little leg up.
Well, you know, Noam Chomsky, he writes about that all the time in a lot of his books. You know, he's an MIT professor in linguistics, an absolute genius. Both the right and left hate him, so I know he's doing something right. And he's all about he's all about the average person and the power that they have in their hands and should take to control what's happening with this the corporatism overtaking the world. But he talks about that all the time, that they give little cookies out. You know, they'll take away this, like they'll sign the Patriot Act, but then they'll allow gay marriage. They'll sign, they'll pass the NDAA and allow the military to arrest anybody in the U.S. that they feel like, but then they'll allow gays in the military. You know?
Right.
So it's little bits, it's crumbs overall. They'll take away all of your fucking civil rights in a mass grouping and then throw you some crumbs out so the people are, you know, are calmed a little bit. But, well, then there must be something good going on by the government if they're allowing gays in the military now, you know? But wait a minute, NDA just passed, and now the fucking military can knock down my door and arrest me for no reason and hold me indefinitely.
NDAA passes or gays in the military. Either way, you're fucked.
But you know, and that's Chomsky talks about that shit all the time, man. How they throw out little crumbs, and usually they're social crumbs. You know, they're a social thing that doesn't really affect business, doesn't affect the flow of money one way or the other. And then when people are being squeezed tight enough that they start yelling about it, then they start throwing those crumbs out for gay marriage and you know, whatever else. And at the same time, they're, you know, they're passing that Trans-Pacific Partnership where it controls the internet and it controls, you know, just all kinds of crazy shit.
Right.
And
if you really look at it, the relationship between the government and its subjects is kind of just like an abusive relationship. They beat the hell out of you for a while, then they bring you some flowers. I mean,
yeah. Yep. That's another good analogy.
What is it, man?
We're like the abused wife, the average citizen. They smack the shit out of you, and every once in a while they'll take you out for dinner and, you know, and treat you and whisper sweet nothings in your ear for the night.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
the white Christian Republicans, they do, you know, they don't do that to the black people.
Yeah. Yeah, that they don't even give a shit enough about.
Black people get the fucking baton.
Oh, white guys.
If they're lucky nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. If they're lucky nowadays.
Baton and rubber bullets, if you're lucky.
Yeah. I saw a picture of this lady. She got shot with a rubber bullet. It was a kind of an overweight white lady. And she lifted up her shirt. I don't know if you saw, but she's got a fucking hole in her gut, man. It goes in, you know, it penetrated her big old chubby stomach, but it went in like 5 inches. The bullet went all the way in, and it didn't go into her stomach, but it made this big ass hole in her skin, and it looked nasty. It looks like somebody tried to brand her or something with a branding iron. Right in her stomach.
I tell you, if those rubber bullets hit you in the right spot, they can kill you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can kill
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
They're not supposed to, but if they hit you, you get hit in the side, right in the temple with one or whatever, and it cracks your freaking temple. You know, it can kill you. Yeah, there's spots where it can hit you where it can kill you.
And the nose,
crush
your nose into your face. I mean, you know, there's a lot. I mean, just like tasers or whatever else, man. All that, you know, supposedly non-lethal ammunition can still kill you. It's a thing. Every once in a while it does.
Yeah. Right. I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
But if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
I love Bill Murray, man. I got to get me some Bill Murray in there. Some Candy Shack. But, yeah, it's crazy, man. I'm telling you, I don't know what the answer is going to be. We're just going to have to.
I don't know.
You know, I know Josh was saying nonviolent revolution, but, I mean, I think I told you this story before, DB, back in the day when I was a born-again, real, you know, crazy Christian, everything. There was this prophet named Dmitri Dudeman. He was from, Yugoslavia, somewhere, one of the Eastern Bloc, old Eastern Bloc countries. And he came to America, and he was, for, I don't know how many years, it was like 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and he had all these prophecies, and he predicted a lot of the stuff that's going on right now. And this is back in the 80s, and he said that there would be a revolution in America, and it would be started by the communists, and he was talking about all the stuff that would happen. And then he said eventually what would happen is Russia, China, a bunch of South American, Mexico, and a bunch of other countries would attack us. And it would be like basically like Red Dawn, like the movie Red Dawn, but a bunch of, like a coalition
the
of countries.
The first one or the old one?
Attack us.
The new one or the old one?
I think I'm referring to the old one, like where China, Russia. Basically Russia and China and a coalition of other countries would Cuba, they would all attack us. And basically take us over. They nuke the East and West Coast and nuke Washington, D.C., and then they just take the whole middle of the country over, supposedly. That's what this guy was predicting. But, you know, that kind of sounds insane, but when you look at a lot of the stuff that I remember, you know, reading a lot of his stuff. I used to get his newsletter for a couple of years, and I'm a total atheist now, so I don't believe any of it, you know, religious stuff at all. But I was just reminded of a lot of the stuff that goes on. I'm like, this guy, you know, he had some kind of foresight at some point because a lot of the stuff that he says has happened. Like he would say, you know, he said, this is back in the mid, early 80s. He said, get out of New York City. He said, get out of Florida. He said, get out of L.A. and the West Coast. He said, get out of Vegas.
get out of all these areas. Alabama, get out of Colorado. Get out.
Right. But basically, you know, the New York thing, he had it right on because, I mean, a lot of stuff has happened in New York since, you know, when he died in, I think, probably late 90s. But a lot of the stuff that he said had happened. You know, he would say there was going to be, you know, attacks and, you know, there would be weather things that happened that's weird, you know, that had never happened before, weird, you know, floods and hurricanes and all this stuff. And a lot of the stuff that he had said has came true. So, it's like a Nostradamus thing. Do you believe, you know, you want to believe it or not. I just find it, you know, kind of weird that a lot of the stuff that he had said seemed to come true. So,
well, I tell you what, when I sent out that card game called Illuminati, and it was printed in 1995 in Steven Jackson Games. He makes a bunch of different card games. It's like Magic, but Illuminati's kind of like that. And in the card game in 1995, it shows the World Trade Center coming down. It shows the Pentagon being struck and on fire.
Yeah.
It shows
the
NSA wiretapping everybody. That's one of the power cards, the NSA. It shows a whistleblower exposing Edward Snowden. It shows a whistleblower exposing all kinds of government atrocities. It shows a flood consuming a nuclear power plant, Fukushima.
Fukushima, right.
All that shit was, and it was printed in 1995.
Right.
That's some creepy shit, man. Talk about Nostradamus. There it is with that game. It's Steven Jackson Games. He's the one that created it, I believe. He does all these games, and it's called Illuminati on top of it.
5, 4, 3, right.
I would highly suggest go on Google Images and Google Illuminati card game on Google Images, and you'll see all those cards. They're really colorful, vivid. And the one with the World Trade Center shows the two towers and one of them coming down, and it says terrorist nuke. That's one of the things that have, but it does show it's a picture or a drawing of the World Trade Center, both of them, and one of them coming down, one of them being broke at the top and falling. And
right.
And the Pentagon on fire. I mean, it's some creepy shit. So,
right.
You know, with the
I've
name of it on top
I
of it.
I actually almost bought that. I remember that coming out, and I almost bought it when it came out.
I've got a later version. I bought a later
yeah.
version. It doesn't have, like, the World Trade Center in it and a couple other ones. If you can get your hands on that 1995 version, I think that one's going to be worth some money, dude. That's going to be a collector's edition because that fucker is calling out all kinds of shit that's happened in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
So I don't know, man.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a few people that have called out 9/11 that said it was going to happen before it happened, you know?
Yeah.
You know about
Alex Jones did.
Russo.
And William Cooper did.
Right.
So a few others.
Yeah, there's been
I mean,
a few people.
And a lot of them, they provided a lot of detail. I mean, Alex Jones said
right.
that Osama bin Laden was going to be blamed for a terrorist attack probably on the World Trade Center about 6 months before it happened. I mean,
right.
that was one of his statements he made on air. So when you're talking about provocateur,
right.
you know, there it is again.
How the fuck does he know that?
I mean, you don't
and
get
that
kind
guy,
of detail.
He's
you know.
Like 3 or 4 years. He's like a couple years younger than us. And how the hell, like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, does he get a radio station, TV station, all this shit? He gets set up and all this stuff, and then he has all this information about all the stuff that's going on. I don't know. I always found it very, very, you know, I don't know,
sketchy.
Very suspicious.
Yeah. I mean, he's there to disseminate some of that information and then, like, delegitimize it, you know, so that people don't believe because he's the one saying it. And then sometimes
it
happens.
He'll say true stuff. He'll say stuff that's really going on, and then they'll go on one of the talk shows on the major news networks and act like
and
a fucking insane. Idiot.
And
go insane, act like
Morgan.
A madman. And then everybody's like, well, right, Piers Morgan. They'll be like, well, he's absolutely nuts. Nothing he says is right because look at how crazy he looks. Why did he get so crazy on the show? He just went completely nuts and acted like an idiot. You know, he totally delegitimized everything
there,
he ever
though.
Said.
Not just there.
He wants people to think
right.
that if you want guns around or crap like that, he wants people, like idiots who are watching Piers Morgan in the first place, he wants them to have his viewers view people who think that people should have guns as completely psychopathic, angry, violent,
right.
you know, belligerent.
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Unstable. I mean,
exactly.
he's a perfect
hey,
example
on
of someone unstable that probably shouldn't own a gun. It's him.
Yeah.
Right.
you know?
Exactly.
Whether what he's saying is true or not is the problem. Whether no matter even what he's saying, because he's so unstable, he just comes across as crazy, even if what he's saying is accurate. You know?
Right.
That's the problem with him. So, you know, I keep referring back to this one time he was dressed up as the Joker, the Heath Ledger Joker, and he had a bunch
right.
of flyers of Obama that looked exactly the same as the Joker. And he was going around Austin posting them on telephone poles, and the cops just happened to be in his parking lot. He walks up to the cops in his Joker makeup and shit and gives them a bunch of Obama flyer posters. I can't believe he didn't get shot right there by the cops, you know?
He was acting
insane.
Texas police probably like what he's saying.
Right.
And,
they're
probably
like we listen to you
like,
every night.
They're probably like, he a Muslim.
But if you even go back to what we were talking about, how it all goes down to money, you know Alex Jones is worth like $8 million, right?
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. That sounds low. I mean, it's probably right, but
right.
He sells everything in the world on a show.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
It's got, you know, and he gets a piece of it, and, you know.
Right. That's why I didn't really want anything from him.
Yeah. He even has those documentaries you can download, and, like, you can buy in sets of, like, 20 because he just wants to make everything sound crazy.
Yeah, you know, like the movie he released lately, it may be his latest movie, the Obama Deception. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with that movie. It talks
right.
about how the corporations own the presidency. And,
yeah,
and
right.
not only, I mean, he's pinned it on Obama, but he goes back into Bush. And he goes
yeah,
back
he
rips, even
he
into, you know,
Bush.
Clinton and previous presidents. And that they're
right.
owned by corporations.
Right.
And he's right. They're bought and paid for. You know,
that's
but
great.
He rails against the government. When even in his own words, he knows that for me also, the real evil is the money by the corporations flowing into the political system.
Well, I mean, hold
right.
on there, though, because he always says that he wants the Republic back, and the answer to George Orwell's 1984 is 1776. He always he wants to go back to a Republic, which is insanity.
Yeah,
right.
well, you know, I mean, basically he's advocating revolution with that statement, you know.
Right.
Which
yeah.
I'm opposed to a violent revolution. I think that there is some sort of social revolution happening. It's slowly but surely, and I think there's the rise of atheism is helping, and I think this show, even with Ferguson, I mean, all of the coverage of it and all these fucking media outlets being all shocked that they're being shot at with tear gas and rubber bullets.
The only thing I don't like about the rise in atheism, Dennis, is like you said, there's a lot of those like Dawkins and Hitchens atheists that are like
Sam Harris,
the pro state. They're pro. They think
to the point of it being
save everybody.
Yeah.
And they're pro. Yeah, they make
liberals.
The state and the government their religion. And I don't like that. I'm
right.
I'm like totally against that. So that's
and
the only
they
thing.
They advocate
right.
violence by the state to cure violence by religion. What the fuck is
right.
that? You know?
Right.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, one evil doesn't cure another. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's their answer to that. And again, Noam Chomsky was asked about them. He was asked about Dawkins and Sam Harris and I believe Hitchens is all, you know, the prominent atheist. And he said, well,
Hitchens,
this is their problem,
pro-war.
Is that their religion is the state. It's
yep,
not
right.
God or Christianity. It's the state. And they believe that the state has the answers to all the social ills of the world. And Chomsky knows that that's not true, man. I mean, that dude is an old-ass, 80-year-old, decrepit
right.
white dude wearing cardigan sweaters that talks like Malcolm X. I mean, he's
right.
all about, you know, the state is fucking is the oppressor of the average person. Over and over, that's his message.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, but good luck telling these atheist liberal types that statism is also a belief system. You know, try telling them
right.
that, and they're gonna
right.
go crazy.
Yeah. It's true, though.
Right.
I mean, a lot of atheists, and they take every word that the government tells them as quote-unquote gospel. You know,
yep.
oh, if the government's
right.
saying it, then it's got to be true. If the government's doing it, then it's got to be okay. That's fucked
that's
up.
Why this
about God and accept everything that the overbearing, oppressive state lays on you. You know?
Right.
You can't be
critical what?
About one thing and not about another.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I have with these atheists. They have this like mentality. Like, I'm not saying all atheists, because there are a lot of intelligent atheists who are out there thinking for themselves, but they think that, you know, you don't believe in a guy upstairs dictating all your actions because he's going to, you know, you're going to die either way, and he made you for some stupid reason. I don't know, but yeah, they think, okay, well, I don't believe in that, so I must be so much more intelligent. But then you talk to, and then have an atheist have a debate with an anarchist. Just have that debate for like, and
yeah.
you're going to hear how stupid the atheist actually is when it comes to like social problems. Oh, but
yeah.
I'm a liberal. Okay, well, your state, you know, the state itself is stealing money to fund itself. So do you see a problem with that? No, they never see that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a severe minority, man. Me and Festa
yeah.
here that run the radio show, we're an absolute minority.
Show.
We're atheists that see that the government is absolutely oppressive and is not the answer to not only religious atrocities but, you know, any atrocities around the world. A lot of times they cause them, if not all the times.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it goes back to the money. The money, the money, the money, man. That's the answer to it all, to get it out
yep.
of politics. I don't know if that'll ever happen, man. I don't know.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, but that's the
because they because all they have to do is vote to raise how much money they make, and they vote for their pay raise all the time. But then you try to have them talk about minimum wage and how the cost of living is affecting poor people and how they're having to kind of like band together and have like three families live in one house.
Right.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about our pay raise.
Yeah, let's see if I can get another, you know, $10 an hour to sit in this chair and bullshit around with you guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's more than that usually. It's usually
$10,000-$20,000
that they do a pay raise.
I mean on top of the $145.
Yeah, right. I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's big money, those raises every time. But, you know, again, they give themselves the raise. How the hell does that happen? Nowhere but Congress does that happen.
Right.
And then when the laws that they pass are all from dark money, from the Citizens United ruling out of the Supreme Court, that allows anybody in any entity to give any amount of money to any candidate over any subject, any issue. So you don't know where the money's flowing, who's got it. I don't know, man. The system surely is fixed for a corporate state. I mean, for fascism. That's the very definition of fascism, is when corporations take over the state and run it through manipulation and through power broking. That's fascism.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And you know how they get away with it so easily? Because there's a lot of people voting on these bills. Even the one who introduces it does not get the full flack of what he actually just did. So they have all these people voting on it. So you can't point at one person and say it's your fault that this happened.
Yeah.
You
can go to the sponsors. I mean, there's people that sponsor those bills, like our esteemed now retired Senator Carl Levin, who was head of the Armed Services Committee. He's the one that sponsored that NDAA bill. That heinous NDAA bill, and you know, of course, now he's retired. That was one of his parting shots to you know, he was in
John Bear?
30 plus years, man.
7 o'clock in the morning.
You know, so
Scotch?
That's the thing.
Exactly.
You got to go after at least the people that are sponsoring it, and you know, I mean, anybody that votes on it. I certainly saw a list when the NDAA passed, that law passed, of who voted for it and who did not. You know,
what was
but
that
again,
bill? What was
what
that
can
bill
you do
that
about it?
Yeah, what was that bill that came out? What was the bill that came out where that one of the senators came out and said that they were telling us that we can't read the bill and we can read it after we vote yes to it. I forgot what bill that was.
Yeah. Well, that happens all the time. We can read it after we vote on it. They rarely read bills. Rarely.
Oh, I know.
And you,
well,
what
that
they
was,
do
was
is they
the
have
Patriot,
staff that go
the
through.
Act,
the,
was it?
You know, they give them cliff notes. And any given bill, if you're locked.
Wasn't that the Patriot? Wasn't that the Patriot Act when they?
It was.
Well, they were getting ready to go on holiday, and they didn't have time or whatever, and they were like, "You're not going to be able to read it. Just vote yes or no." And then
you know what happened? You know what happened? The very day Congress was supposed to vote on the Patriot Act, they got attacked with anthrax and evacuated.
Oh, that's right.
Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
There was nobody,
in
there.
Coincidences again? Boom.
Right.
Yeah, so they're voting on one of the most restrictive civil rights bills ever created in the history of the country. That very day, anthrax is sent to their offices.
Yeah.
Right.
Convenient.
Right.
That's what happened there.
Yeah, so... Okay, well, I hope your listeners realize that everything that they're doing is illegitimate, fraudulent, and coercive.
You'd hope so. We rail about it enough, but who knows? You know, I mean, it's I think people are opening their eyes. This Ferguson thing, I'm hoping more good comes out of it than what's been happening right now. And people are finally realizing those fucking tanks are bullshit. You know, the militarization of our police are bullshit, no matter what the reason is. There are a lot of people that were either ignorant of the situation or didn't care about it, I think are finally starting to be like, man, that's fucked up.
The problem is there that they should have realized that, like, there's YouTube videos of trains going by with tanks and militarized, you know, weaponized vehicles. And then came out, kind of low source, that 1,700 MRAPs were being delivered to small towns. And, you know, people aren't people aren't talking about that. People aren't reading about that. People don't care. They don't seem to care because guess what? Football is back on, my friends. Football
right.
is back on. Cheer your team on. Wear your colors and be an idiot. Go drink some beer and eat some pretzels.
That's definitely a distraction.
Brian's
one of them. He loves
love
the football.
I do love my football.
Buster loves it. But you know what? I like sports too, man. I still like sports, but I still it is a distraction. But it isn't enough of one that everybody in the world that watches sports doesn't know what's going on or shouldn't know. I mean, you know, there's enough in there to where you should, even if you like sports, should know what the fuck is happening in the world. And it's a lot of bad things. The problem is it's not sports as a distraction as a whole. It's the fact that media is owned by the, you know, the military-industrial complex, and they just don't report on that shit. They're not going to report.
Right.
They're going to shoot themselves in the foot if they do. You know?
Well, I mean,
even MSNBC.
On game day. On
you know,
game day, are you
MSNBC
watching?
Is owned by GE, they're one of the largest war manufacturers in the world. So even MSNBC isn't going to sit back and say, why the fuck are we, you know, have 1,000 military installations all over the world right now? Why are we spending $2 billion a day on our military? They're not asking those questions that the supposed quote-unquote left used to ask in the 60s and 70s. That's a bygone era nowadays, man. No one does in mainstream media anymore.
Yeah, well,
no
I mean, you gotta look at the restrictions they're under. I mean, to have a mainstream media, whether it be a newspaper or a television show, there's seven people who own all of that. So you have to follow those restrictions.
Very
you're
few
not
companies
fired,
own a majority of media. Very few. It's a, you know, you got your Disney, which is ABC, and Fox, which stands on its own as you know, right wing. You know, MSNBC, NBC is owned by GE. Like I said, you know, I mean, I mean, only five or six companies own 90% of media or something like that now. So it's really, your true media are these people, like, roaming around the streets of Ferguson reporting on it, you know?
Absolutely,
And just posting it online. That's the real media nowadays.
And thank you, and, and I was saying this a while back that the dumbest thing they could have done was put the internet out because now we can all communicate with each other and connect the dots.
Exactly.
Well, hey, man, come on back. We're here on Wednesdays. We are Blisterfish, so if you want to come on back, we're here Wednesdays, 8 o'clock. We do a lot of atheist stuff. Today was mainly about Ferguson, but, you know, come on back. Give us a call sometime, man. It's good to hear from you.
For sure. Take it easy.
Sure. All right, man.
Thanks for calling, Josh. Thanks for driving the content tonight. You're a good caller, and you're welcome back anytime, man. And this is Blisterfish. We got another one. We whacked it, stacked it. Little less anti-religious than normal, but fuck it, man. Let the revolution begin. And
all right, man.
We'll see you next Wednesday, old DB. 8 o'clock.
Blisterfish.
Adios, be there, be square. Blisterfish.